Amen. We're starting a brand new series today called Revolution. Thank you. Yeah, now that you did that, I got to tell a story. A crazy history of this whole concept in that song. That's a Kirk Franklin song from way back in the day. But, you know, one day I was driving my daughter around and we're running errands. And typically if I'm taking her to school in the morning, I like to, you know, aggravate her a little bit. And so she doesn't like daddy to do anything that draws attention. So we'll be pulling on property somewhere and I'll kick in some music real loud. And I found this and I downloaded it to my phone and I had it on the car stereo. And I just, you know, started thumping the bass on it. And she's like, "Daddy, stop it, don't do that, stop it." And yeah. And so, well, the funny story is that she began to like that song. So every time she'd jump in the car, she'd like turn that song on again. So we were driving down the road, and we listened to this song from back in thank you. So you all know who Kirk Franklin is. I'm glad to. And so I started really enjoying it because it's a song from way back in the day I used to like. And I started thinking, you know, this is really, I love the thought here. Lord, what can we do to make this into a series? And I began to research. And as I started doing just the research on the word revolution, you know, typically you say revolution, people think of like a government overthrow. And there's other different definitions. But Webster Online Dictionary has this for a definition. Now listen to this. A sudden, radical, or complete change. A sudden, radical, or complete change. Do you need a sudden, radical, complete change in the area of your life today? A fundamental change in the way of thinking, a sudden, extreme, or complete change in the way people live. Now, around here, I love doing teaching on faith, and faith is a powerful principle. It's not fluff, it's not an emotion, it's not a concept way out there. It's like a muscle as we exercise and develop, it really helps us be strong in our walk with God. The Bible says without faith, you can't please God. Everything you receive from God is by faith. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's so important in our walk with God that we teach that a lot around here. That because in my opinion, a lot of Christians are kind of like bottle rockets. They get real excited, they shoot off, make a big bang, make a big flash, and then they disappear. And there's something in our walk with God that we have to, each and every one of us has to develop, that when we get a promise from God, are you listening to me? When we get a promise from God's word for us in our lives, it doesn't always happen the next day. And sometimes we can get frustrated and say, okay, God, why didn't it happen today? I'm done. All right, Lord, I'm gonna obey you. I want the answer now. And there's a development and maturity that happens when we walk out the process of faith. It brings patience, a completeness James talks about that I so believe in, because you'll face impossible scenarios in life, and to get through that, it's not necessarily overnight, but you can get through it. You can only get through it. You can come through it and be victorious in it. Can I get an amen? Amen. But it's like Abraham, who's the father of faith, who against hope believed in hope that the God who made the promise that he could be a father was going to do it, regardless if he physically couldn't do it. He stuck in there. He fought the good fight of faith. We see that in the Bible. He finished his race. Paul talks about that. And we see this process of developing a stability, a strength, and endurance in our walk with God, so that when things aren't going our way, we do not give up. We do not quit. We say, God, you promised me this. I refuse to let it go. I'm going to hang on to this until I see it. That is so important that I believe every Christian, we need to develop that in our lives, that when God speaks to you and gives you a promise or direction, that you hang on to it, even when it looks impossible to you, even when it doesn't look likely. You know that God who promised you is well able to make it happen, even against all odds. Amen. Because our Bible says, for with God, all things are, possible. Come on, church, all things are what?
Possible.
All things are what?
Possible.
Possible. Now, we got to get out of this mindset that Sunday is like the church day and Monday is like the real day. So we celebrate it on Sunday. Oh, with Jesus, all things are possible. And we get into a problem Monday and say, it's never going to happen. No. See, Jesus' reality is greater than your reality. Your reality is only temporary. And if you allow God to bring the change, he can bring your reality to line up with his reality and do something incredible. And so we have to look, to me, it's so important for us to build that into our walk with God. Otherwise, we could be Christians that are just real hype, high energy and quick in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. God, I pray you didn't do it. Okay, I'll go on to the next backup plan. No, there's something about standing strong. Okay? Yeah, so we're on that same pace. Now, with that said, there's a balance to every truth. There's also another flip side of that that I believe that it can be a tension not to be resolved, but a tension to be managed. It's like an example of that is like this whole thing about the Lord returning. We know Jesus is going to return one day, right? We right here, we believe in the rapture of the church. You don't have to if you don't want to. Check it out. Do your own research. Get your own revelation. We did a whole series on it last year. I personally believe in the rapture of the church. Jesus talked about that one day we need to live in a rhythm where he can come back any day. It's good wisdom to live your daily life that Jesus could come back today. But he also told us to occupy till he comes, which means you need to plan and prepare and develop yourself as if he's not coming back in your lifetime. Because if you take these tensions away, you get off balance. Example, if you look at someone, they're getting ready to start their senior year, and they get a revelation that Jesus could come back today. Well, you got to go to school. No, I don't have to go to school anymore. I'm done. Why? I don't have to graduate. Why? Because Jesus is going to come back today. Well, that's not what he's saying. That's not good wisdom. Prepare yourself as if he's not coming back in your lifetime. Well, if you go to the flip side, oh, I'm making plans for 50 years, and you know what? And down year 49, that's when I'm going to start serving God because he's not going to come back today. I'll wait to deal with Jesus later. That's not good wisdom either. We need to live daily as if he's going to come back today, but also prepare ourselves daily as if he's not coming back into our lifetime. Do you see the tension? Those are two tensions that are not to be resolved, but to be managed. Well, in the same context, for us to experience a revolution, a sudden, extreme, radical, complete change in our life that God and only God can do, we have to live with this tension that we have to walk out by faith the process and not give in and quit, but never stop expecting him to do it immediately. Think about that for a second. Think about this. Let me throw this at you. You can never receive anything tomorrow. How do you receive from God tomorrow? You can't. You can only receive in the present now. It might be in your calendar tomorrow, but you can't receive right now. You can't receive anything tomorrow. Everything you receive from God by faith and patience, you have to realize that in the moment of receiving, it was a moment of now. Not a moment of then. If you live in a moment of one day, you'll never receive because your receiving is then, and you can't receive in the then. You have to receive in the now. Now, Hebrews 11, now faith is. It's a substance of things, hope for evidence of things not seen. It's the now, because when you finally receive it in the moment of receiving, it has to be in the moment of now. Oh, I'll receive it next week. You'll never, because there'll always be a next week. It's like that old cartoon. He said, I'll gladly pay you for a cheeseburger on Tuesday. Or I'll pay you tomorrow. Well, he goes, okay, I'm here to pick. No, I'll pay you tomorrow. Today is tomorrow. No, today's today. I'll pay you tomorrow. Tomorrow never shows up. Because you only live in today. You only live in the now. And if we stop expecting God to do it in the now, while we are walking this thing out in the long term by faith, we'll never receive it because you have to keep your hope and expectation open in the now. Do you see that? Now, let me throw you a few verses because there's practical things we need to do long term. And this happens in any area of your life, your relationships, your health, your finances. The list goes on and on. Those are just a few major things that everybody deals with in one area or time or another. But let me just read. We're not going to throw these on the screen, but let me just read these to you. Matthew 8:3, and Jesus put his hand forth and touched him, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 20, verse 34, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Mark 1:31, and he lifted up her hand, and immediately the fever left her. Mark verse chapter 1, verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed. Now, there's times that we see a progressive healing in the ministry of Jesus. He told the 10 lepers, go present yourself to the high priest and do what you're supposed to do according to law. And as they went, they recognized they were healed. But there was also this amazing avenue, angle, dynamic, call it what you want, where Jesus would minister and do the immediate. And I feel in the body of Christ that we're missing a little bit of the immediate. We can get so caught up in the progressive that we can literally, if not careful, take on good principles that are even that the world can use to become better. But Christianity is not you becoming a better you. Christianity is you being a brand new you. And God can do something in your life so radically different that you know that you couldn't do it, so that the people around you see, wait a minute, there's something more than just a good self-help plan. There's something more than just a good idea. There's something more, because just like David who took a life, I want you to know this day you're going to die and everybody's going to know that there is a God. Your life should be a billboard to demonstrate the goodness of who Jesus is in your life. Praise God for us. 10-step self-help, but something even better is the immediate, radical, extreme sun touch of God's power into your life that would heal the sick, deliver those who are oppressed, promote those who've been struggling. Can you imagine all of a sudden financial blessings come to your life immediately? Can you imagine a marriage change immediately? Can you imagine the right person walking in your life immediately? Can you imagine an idea coming to you that propels you in your career immediately? Can you imagine God doing something for you immediately? Think about that. What area of your life that have you been praying for a long time that you thought, oh, it'll never change? You know, if we're not careful, we will allow the challenges that we deal with, and if we deal with them long enough, there's a human tendency to embrace what you used to oppose. You begin to warm up with, it'll never be any better, so this is the cards I've been dealt, so I'm trying to make the best out of it. Because I'm just tired of fighting, because it doesn't seem like it's getting any better, and so we can embrace what we used to fight against. We can embrace what we used to oppose, because the enemy has a way of creeping into our thoughts and whispering, telling us that it'll never change. If it was going to be better, it would have already been better. I'm here to tell you that the Bible tells us, how can someone receive unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone speaks it? And I'm here to tell you that as we are speaking this series, this next few weeks, that as the word goes forth, it's just not to teach you, but to inspire and impart something into your life so that you can hear correctly what God can and wants to do, so that you can see what God wants to do in your life, so that you can receive it. Are you with me today? Because you can, there's a lot of people that have salvation, but there's a lot of people that do not have salvation. There's a lot of unsaved people in the world, but salvation is available for everybody. Do you realize that? Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago on our historical timeline. And when he died and provided salvation for any and every person. There is not one person. It's the design and desire of your Heavenly Father that no one goes to hell, that all be saved. So the blood of Jesus is well capable of providing salvation and forgiveness to every person, but not every person receives. And they can't receive because they don't believe. They don't believe because they don't perceive it. They don't perceive it because they're not hearing it. Jesus would say phrases like, when he would teach, and he would say phrases like, you know, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, just don't listen to the words. Find out what God is saying to you. In fact, he talked about they have eyes, but they don't see, ears, but they don't hear. But if they had ears to hear, then, and they wouldn't close their eyes and they could begin to see or perceive, then their hearts would be open and they could receive. And he said, I'd come and heal them. Wholeness, salvation. Saved is sozo, salvation is soteria, the Greek words, which means it encompasses not only forgiveness of sins and you going to heaven and praise God escaping hell, but it encompasses every entirety of all that God has for you. In fact, we find in the Gospels that one day that some friends brought a friend of theirs that was sick. They, remember, ripped open a hole in the roof. I wonder whose house that was. You know, when you get to heaven, you got to ask these questions. I want to shake the hand of the guy who allowed his roof to be torn. You know what I mean? Because if it was us and you had Jesus, you and everything perfect, and all of a sudden stuff would start. Hey! Did you know who I have here? If you had security, he's like, get the gun, shoot him. You know what I mean? You don't know what was going through his mind, but he allowed his roof to be torn apart. And Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. And this Pharisee, the Sadducees, got totally ticked at the idea that Jesus would forgive sins. And I said, who are you to forgive sins? And he responded and said, just because you don't get it, this is Greg Bruce translation, just because you don't get it doesn't mean it's real. He goes, I'm going to show you that the Son of Man has authority and power on the earth to forgive. And he looked at him and said, pick up your bed and walk. I'm telling you, and salvation encompasses healing, blessing, protection, favor, wholeness, nothing missing, lacking, or broken, a shalom peace. Do you know what happens? We're not aware of it, so we accept the way life's been dealt to us. And then we begin to brace the impossible. And we allow the devil to tell us that it'll never happen. And I'm here to stir something in you that you start rising up and say, wait a minute, I don't have to live this way. I don't have to tolerate this. I've been created for more than this. And when the devil says it's impossible, you need to rise up and say, who says it's impossible? For my Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Who has spoken into your life and told you that you would never be more than you are? Who has told you that you're a loser and a failure and not a winner? When the Bible says you're the head and not the tail, you're above always and never to be beneath. Every Psalms 1, everything you put your hands through is blessed of the Lord. Who in the world has called you something different than God and we tolerate it? Who did you allow speak into your life? You got to rise up and say, all that garbage, I'm throwing it away and putting those weights away because I want to be all that Jesus called me to be. This is not greed. Some people say, oh, this sounds kind of greedy gospel. This is not greed. Greed is when you want something that somebody else has that doesn't belong to you. That's greed. I don't have that. They have it. I want it. I'm going to get it from them. That's greed. What this is inheritance. You wanting what your father has already provided. You wanting what your father. I'm not asking you to go for anything more, but everything he has for you. I don't know about you, when I get to heaven, I want to be at the place where he says, you know, everything that I've provided, you had. Versus I'm saying, you know, you did well with that. Lord, I tried. I only had a little. I know you did. You did well. I'm glad you're here. I didn't. Nobody liked me. I know. But let me show you what I had for you. That looks like my neighbor. I'm so jealous. Well, no, that's what I had for you. Did you hear me? Greed is wanting what doesn't belong to you. That somebody else has. This is not greed. This is about you having all that rightfully belongs to you because of the blood of Jesus and the covenant what he purchased for you. Do you see that? So if he has wholeness, do you want wholeness? If he has peace, do you want peace? If he has joy for you, do you want joy? If he has healing and health? Oh, but the doctors say, I know what the doctor said. And they do their best. It's like the spies. There's a big group of them that did their best. They told what they saw, and what they saw determined what they could do. And God said, that's an evil report. But two saw what God said, and they saw what was in the natural, but they looked at the stumbling blocks as opportunities and said, there are giants in the land, but they're bred for us. We can take them now. Let's go. And those are the ones who made it. See, I'm believing in this series that when we get to the end of this series, if we could go into the future and do a little videotape of you, I would love to do it, bring it back, and you say to yourself, ah. Ooh, wait till we get to this point. You're not going to, I can't, I just, it's so amazing that God's going to do a radical, extreme, sudden, something powerful beyond you, something amazing to get the attention of you and those around you. In your life? Now, will it happen for everybody? Absolutely not. Boy, that got quiet. We're just going to randomly pick people. No, I'm joking. It don't happen that way. Will it happen for everybody? Absolutely not. Will it happen for some people? Absolutely. And I want you, and I'm sincere about this, when God begins this month to begin, during the series, to begin to do something sudden, immediate, radical demonstration of his power in your life, email me. It will happen. Now, the ones who sit there and say, you know what, my life's been like this for 800 years and it's not going to change. You know what? We love you. Jesus loves you, but it's going to be that way. According to your faith, still be it unto you. But for those who rise, I'm going to say, you know what? If it's in God's word, I want it. If God said I can be it, I want to be it. If God says I can have it, I want to have it. And I'm going to begin to expect. I'm going to begin to look. Do you know that whole series about the comfort of the Holy Spirit? We talked about that God has stuff for you. They can't get to you until you learn to recognize God working and begin to respond correctly so you're in a position to receive what he has for you. See, we're just continuing that whole concept to a whole nother level. Because I want us to begin to expect God to do. I'll say it this way. I want you to begin to believe the unbelievable. I want you to begin to expect the impossible. Those things that people in life has told you is impossible never change. I want you to begin to say, you know what? With God, all things are possible. Why can't that person be healed? Why can't my family member get out of that wheelchair? Why can't I have more than enough? Why can't I be out of debt? Why can't I have a good career? Why can't I be happily married? Why can't I have children? In the name of Jesus, I loose that into your life. You say, who are you talking about? It's none of your business. Why can't I? You know, the devil says, you know, all these things. That why can't I? I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. And he can do it. Now, he can do it in an hour. He can do it in an hour. Are you with me? Suddenly, the immediate of God, the extreme, when all of a sudden God does it, and there is no doubt that it was Jesus and not you. I'm believing for some of you to get such a raise that people are like, I don't know what's going on with the managing this business. It seems like going to the ground giving people that kind of raise. I don't know what that's. Wouldn't it be cool you get a 30% raise? No one gets a 30% raise. And then they fire a boss for giving you a 30% raise, but give you his job? I mean, let's believe for the impossible here. Let's believe for God to do something that we've never seen him do before. Well, I don't think that's possible. Not for you. Not for you. Let me get to a scripture here. If you have your Bibles. Mark 2 was the verse that we talked about, the one that Jesus forgave and then healed him. But Mark 5. He's talking about a woman with an issue of blood. Many of you have heard this story before. I'm going to read out the Amplified. She heard the reports concerning Jesus and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garments. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Now, we talked about this a few Wednesday nights ago. In the King James Version, it says, if I can touch the hem of his garments. We have to understand the context of that culture, that a hem was not just the way we see a hem. The hem on his garment that was referring to represented, for lack of just a quick overview, brush stroke, it was like strings with knots. Those knots were symbolic. They represented the commandments of God. Deuteronomy 28, write this down, do your own study in your own time. Deuteronomy 28, God is very specific. If you obey me and do what I tell you to do, here's the blessings. If you don't obey me and don't do what I tell you to do, here's the curses. Okay? You got to read that just so you understand. When people get up in church and tell you that God will make you sick or poor, go to Deuteronomy 28. That's a curse. That's not a blessing for obeying God. Did you hear me? Did you hear me?
Yes.
Sometimes we have been so religiously brainwashed, we haven't been biblically taught. We have to understand what the Bible says. Well, that's not how my old church, you know, I don't care what the old church says. I don't care what tradition says. What does the Bible say? Challenge everything. Challenge what I say with the Bible. Because it doesn't matter what I say. What does the Bible say? And now catch this. So the hem of the garment represented the knots representing the commandments of God. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Because he was fulfilling the law, he was by covenant connection with the Father, he inherited all the blessings of obedience. When she was touching the hem of that garment, she was connecting receiving the results of his obedience. Not what she was doing, what he had done. See, that's being more than a conqueror. He defeats, you get the reward. More than a conqueror. But catch this. She was, according to their system, unclean because of her situation. She could not worship like everybody worshiped, which means for us going to church, Can you imagine getting to the door of church and you're walking in and the greeter starts to open the door and the light goes off. Ding, ding, ding. You can't come in. She couldn't worship. She couldn't be with her friends and family and society. If she would touch somebody, they would be unclean and be under the same problem. Can you imagine? You gotta understand, this is not a fairy tale story. Read this as a newspaper. This woman who had been sick so long that she'd been basically under the torture craziness of doctors of her day, spent all her money, had no money, was worse. That means she was fatigued, she exhausted, but she heard what Jesus could do. She heard what Jesus could do. You might be in a bad scenario today. You might be in a bad situation, and you might maybe find yourself where you can't even generate any energy, but if you can hear what Jesus does. And she said, I'm going to press through the crowd. See, by law, they could have stoned her because if she touched one, they were unclean. But I'm going to get somewhere. And she pressed through the crowd. And when she got to Jesus, she pressed through. She was going for the hem, not because she was qualified. From all stance and points and their understanding and interpretation, she was not qualified. And when the devil tells you you're not qualified, say, you know what, me alone, no. You're not qualified to be saved. It's by grace. Did you hear me? You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved by your ability. You're saved not by your heritage, not by what your parents did. You're saved by grace. You're not qualified to be saved. You're not qualified to be a child of God, but you are. You're not qualified to go to heaven. It's too good. You're saved. It's all because of grace. So when the devil tells you that you're not qualified to be blessed, say, yeah, I'm not, but by grace. You're not qualified to be healed. You're not. You don't qualify. Well, I've been a Sunday school teacher for 42 years. Doesn't this qualify you for God's healing? You can be a Sunday school teacher for 300 years. It still don't qualify you for the healing power of Jesus. You know what qualifies you for the healing power of Jesus? The grace of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Your qualification is in the blood. So when the devil tells you you're not qualified, I'm not on my own, but it's not me. It's the grace of God. So, I don't know if I can be healed. Yeah, you can. I don't know if I deserve. No, you don't. But he does. And he freely gives. Do you catch that? So when the devil says you're not qualified, don't get upset about that. Say, yeah, isn't that awesome? That's stinking cool. That is so amazing. You're not qualified to have that job. I know. This is so awesome. You don't deserve that kind of raise. I know. You don't deserve to get out of that wheelchair. I know. You don't deserve to be saved. I know. You shouldn't be that happy. I know. I don't deserve that. I'm not qualified that. I'm not wanting to live at a level of life that I'm qualified for. I want to live a level of life that he's provided for you and I so that we can be a billboard for the goodness of God to let people know that Jesus is real. Yes. You're not qualified. Well, I know. She was not qualified, but she kept going. She was not qualified, but she kept going. Let me read this verse. For she kept saying, if I touch his garments, I shall be restored. And immediately, her flow of blood was dried up at the source. And suddenly, she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched me? My clothes. And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides. And you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see her and to see her who had done it. Verse 33, but when the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, catch that, faith, her faith in the now. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith. Not going to be. Now faith is her faith. Your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in or into peace and be continually healed. See, I'm not looking for you to have a God encounter in some area of your life, a revolution from God in some area of your life, only to be able to talk about it because you lost it. Oh, I remember, what was that? August of 2003. Oh, that was a good month. That's when I wish I was there. No, 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 no. This is going to be a stepping stone.
Yes.
Because we want you to keep it. John 15, verse 17, 16. We want you to have fruit that remains.
Yes.
Has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Now, I want you to notice. Ready? Jesus didn't begin to look for her until she began to reach out to him. Jesus didn't begin to look for her. Sometimes we become too passive. Oh, Jesus, I spent all my money. Doctor did horrible things. And Lord, I can't get to you, but if you come, kumbaya, Jesus. Kumbaya. I guess he didn't want a kumbaya to me today. No, no, no. She became active in her faith. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. She reached toward him. In this series, I want you to so stir yourself up that you begin to reach toward God. Because when you access God's power, he can do the immediate. What immediate thing do you need to be done in your life? Your finances, your health, your state of mind, your peace, your rest. I haven't had a good night's sleep in years. You can. I've been so tormented with oppression and depression. It don't have to stay. You know, I'm just so broken from the things that's happened to me. It can be healed.
Yes.
Can you imagine the things the devil has tried to destroy you with, that you are just struggling with all this brokenness, and in a second, he can set you free?
Yes.
What would that be like? Where addictions you couldn't get away from in a minute, in a second, and then suddenly, in an immediate radical moment, he can change everything. Let's not stop looking for the revolution of God. Because I'm telling you, he has stuff for you. That when we start getting our faith out there, available to all of you, that those who are going to reach and go for it, I believe you're going to have great testimonies. I want to hear them. Did you hear me? I want to hear them. Did you hear me?
Yes.
God can do the immediate. Did you say
God can do the immediate?
Immediately, she was healed. Immediately, they could see. Immediately, they came back to life. Immediately, they were cleansed. What immediate thing do you need? What immediate thing?